one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it.
Harper, the swing of his life.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to recap Phil's Diamondbacks from the weekend at Citizens Bank Park. Bad baseball right now, gang. It's not just us saying it. The Phillies themselves are calling it what it is. They are playing some bad baseball right now, and that is resulting in them losing some games they should win and just being a really unpleasant watch right now. But hopefully this will be a pleasant listen as we talk about it and we commiserate. So we'll talk about some of the bad base running we saw this weekend. We'll talk about a lineup that seems to only be able to score one inning per game over the last week. And we'll take a look ahead to the Cubs series coming up here starting on Monday night. Joining me to do that is Liz Rocher, of course, the editor of Sabres Baseball Research Journal. Follow her on X and Blue Sky at Liz Rocher. Liz, how are you?
Oh, peachy keen, jelly bean. This was such a fun weekend of baseball to watch. So glad I made time on my schedule three times.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's good to say. And if you want to know why Phillies fans are ornery right now, it's, again, not just because, well, they're off to a slow first 15 games. That's not what we're talking about here. Everybody knows, and we talked about it on the last podcast, this is not just a one-year thing. And so that's why everybody's a little bit testy right now. Justin Clu won't be joining us here on this edition of the podcast. He'll be joining me for the midweek edition of the pod, where we'll talk a little bit about the Cubs series. But Liz and I wanted to spend some quality time together today talking about the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. And the nonsense we all saw.
We don't like them right now.
That's right. Look, here's the thing. For everybody listening and for everybody out there who watched this team play, none of us likes this team right now. I don't know that they like themselves right now. It is an unlikable brand of baseball this team is playing right now. It is mediocre baseball, which is why they are 7-8 entering this three-game series against the Cubs. They have not played good teams here in the early going. There have been no juggernauts. Of course, there really are no juggernauts in baseball right now. Everybody in the league is like no better than four games over 500, and no worse than like four games under 500. It's a league full of parity right now. I saw today the Twins have the best record in the American League at this point. So there's not a whole, and the Twins were earmarked for 95 losses this year. Okay. So there are not a lot of grand proclamations that anybody's prepared to make about the Phillies or anybody else in baseball. What we can just tell you is that it's been really awful baseball to watch. Every aspect of the game, the Phillies are just finding way to make mistakes. Bryce Harper was asked about it after the game on Sunday and just said, it's bad baseball. And he has to include himself in that little moniker, in that little description of the type of baseball the Phillies are playing. They are tied with the Nationals right now in the NL East for the third best record in the division. The Braves are 10-6, playing some pretty good ball themselves right now. The Marlins are 8-8. The Mets are 7-9. But the Phillies have the worst run differential of any team in the National League East at the moment at -16. By the way, Atlanta is out to a +46 in the run differential so far. So, yeah.
Great.
But this should tell you all you need to know. And we're going to kind of start off with, we'll get to the offense in just a second. I want to start off with some of the awful base running that we saw on Sunday and just leading to the overall terrible play on the field. We saw early in the game, Bryce Harper, as the Phillies offense was struggling once again. Harper, one of the few bats who has been hot, over the last nine games or so, turns a leadoff single, ground ball up the middle, standard. You know, you see it, you've seen it 10 million times in your life, a standard ground ball up the middle for a single. And Harper, you could just see it out of the dugout. He had Toro nostril flares coming out. Like he knew as soon as he hit it, I'm going to stretch this into a double. And it was thrown out by 5 feet. I mean, it wasn't even close. Everyone saw it coming, and he got booed lustily off the field because we've seen Bryce Harper run himself into a lot of outs over the years. And it was just silly. It was just stupid. And it reeked of desperation, and everybody could see it.
No one wants to see They want to see, even if the Phillies are desperate, no one wants to see them be desperate. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to see them being calm. And when they do stuff like this, it just, it fans the flame of angry fans. Angry fans who want to see better baseball from their team. Almost every team out there has seen better baseball from their team in their first, 15 games in the Phillies.
Well, and the Phillies have no rope with the fan base right now. They've just run out of rope.
And nor should they. They did what they did in the offseason. They knew how it was perceived. So this is their doing. They have to deal with it. But like, whew.
Yeah, well, and that's the pressures on these guys, and they're playing like it. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the eighth inning when Brandon Marsh got doubled off first base on an infield pop-up. And that's what Bryce Harper was referring to when he talked about bad baseball. The team was playing bad baseball. He was talking about the Brandon Marsh getting caught off at first, and that is just inexcusable. Rob Thompson after the game said, even though you're stealing or you're taking off on the pitch, on the third step, you're supposed to look in. And Marsh didn't look in. He just kept chugging. That's a fundamental error. After the game, Rob Thompson also said he didn't even talk to Bryce Harper about trying to extend the single into a double because Harper knew what he did was wrong. Like, I get that Bryce Harper is not your six-year-old son who you've told not to play with the knives and yet continues to play with the knives. You don't take them away and say, well, I decided not to scold him because he knows better. I mean, I get it. Bryce Harper is a grown man. He's the leader of the team. But I tell you what, that comment really struck as a manager who is not really pushing all of the right buttons in terms of getting guys to play fundamentally sound baseball. I mean, I don't know what you do with Bryce Harper in that situation, but that sounds like a weak statement to me.
It does. And this is and I think we've known this is how Thompson has run his team, has run his clubhouse. And I think these are the questions we have to start asking this year. We've asked them throughout the last few years, but whether Rob Thompson's the right man for this job. But I think we've seen continued results of his really laissez-faire attitude, his acceptance that the stars are stars. They know what they're supposed to do. They don't need anything really. They don't need me to tell them what to or not to do. Like, maybe that is true, but things don't seem to be working well,
Yeah.
Things haven't seemed to be working the way they should have for several seasons now, at least clubhouse wise. And it's something we've constantly commented on. And now it's becoming really, really obvious that I think this is a problem that it's affecting things that we don't know. And having the players rule the clubhouse isn't always the best, especially when they're all very samey guys like Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, these guys who cut the same sort of figure personality-wise and personally. It can be, I imagine, it's not the most fun all the time.
We have heard over the years, whenever the Phillies get into a rut with a manager, and you've seen it online, and it's some of the older generation of fans who remember when Dallas Green took over the 1980 Phillies, and everybody likes to go back to that because that worked really well. I mean, you had a team that was of loaded with stars, had been to three straight seasons in the playoffs, lost in the first round of the playoffs all 3 years, missed the playoffs entirely in 1979 because they were hit with a rash of injuries. And at the end of the 79 season, a player-friendly manager in Danny Ozark is let go by the team, and the team brings in a firebrand in Dallas Green, who decides to just, I don't know why I suddenly just morphed back into my 2005 fantasy football team there for a second. I'm not sure why. Tight end Dallas Clark of the Indianapolis Colts. Dallas Green comes in and just starts screaming the paint off the walls and purposely trying to shake up a clubhouse of really talented but complacent players. And I don't think that this group necessarily is complacent. I think they're trying to do too much. And Rob Thompson has said that. All the players are saying that. Trey Turner said that after the game on Sunday. We heard Kyle Schwarber say that after the game on Saturday when he was asked if the team.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when he was asked if the team really needed that big four-run inning, it's like, I don't want to say we needed it, because if we start chasing that kind of thing, then bad things start to happen. But when you hear Rob Thompson kind of approach things the way he has, and Justin has talked about this a lot with us on the podcast, you see how the Phillies are kind of messy now, like to get messier and messier with each passing year. You know, Dallas Green's not walking through that door. Larry Bowa is definitely not walking through that door.
But no.
You do wonder at a certain point, and I'm not advocating for this right now, because I've always been a big Rob Thompson guy, and I think you've been supportive of Rob Thompson. Justin has largely been as well. We believe he's a good manager, but there comes a time if a manager and a team have kind of run its course, and it's time to bring in a different voice. And I don't know that we're there yet, but I want the possibility to be out there, because there was something to be said for what Dallas Green did in 1980. And it doesn't work all the time for every situation, like so many fans want to believe that it does. You can't always just push the Dallas Green button and all of a sudden you're on your way to a championship. But
and
these situations
how Rob
are similar.
Thompson came in is definitely impacting everyone, because they saw the last time they got rid of a manager, let's do it again. I'm like, it doesn't work. Doesn't work that way more than once, honestly. The fact that it worked once is a freaking miracle.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah, and we forget Rob Thompson came in middle of the season for Ryan Sandberg as a calmer voice or a more competent voice than the one
Joe Girardi.
That was in. Yeah. Oh, Girardi. Yes. Who did I? Ryan Sandberg. Wow. I'm 2 for 2 today on this opening segment. Really good stuff.
I mean,
stuff,
I thought
John.
You might mention Pete McCannon, because I heard on the broadcast a couple of days ago that Pete McCannon, his glorious head of hair, went through some surgery recently. And they were apparently worried about him. And so they said on the broadcast, he's back watching the game with his wife, Nancy, I think. And they were so happy that he's well and doing great. I'm like, oh, God, I had no idea. Yeah. I mean, David Lopes just died. And I'm like, someone hold on to these Phillies coaches, please. Yeah. There's some I can't lose. Personally, I cannot lose them.
Charlie Manuel cannot go anywhere. Please find somebody to take care of Charlie Manuel. I mean, Charlie, I think, has been around the team the last few days, too. He's around the batting cage and stuff over the course of the week. Very cool.
Larry Bowa? No, he can't go. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
I'll die. I will personally die.
So, I mean, I guess that's kind of, you know, when you've got fundamental issues like this, when the team has struggled with fundamental issues, it does point back to the management and the coaching, whether it's the hitting coach or the manager. And I'll point to another two situations from Sunday's game, but we have seen this a lot this year, and we've seen this especially in October. And that is the Phillies' inability to convert runs when they are presented with incredible opportunities to do so. Bryson, two times in the game on Sunday, the Phillies had first and third with nobody out and failed to score both times. Now, the first time was in the inning where they scored their four runs, and then they proceeded to, after getting those four runs, have first and third with nobody out, blow the game open. They're getting ready to blow the game open. And then you have Bryson Stott, Adolis Garcia, and Alec Bohm coming to the plate as your next hitters here. I think you're 4, 5, and 6 in this game, or 5, 6, 7 maybe it was. Yeah, 5, 6, 7. Bryson Stott, Adolis Garcia, and Alec Bohm strand those runners in the sixth inning. And then Bryson Stott does it again in the eighth inning, along with Adolis Garcia. And it's just like, you know, Stott was too passive in the sixth inning, lets a ball right down the middle, which is what he does. He lets first pitch strikes go by. He almost never takes a strike. I mean, swings at a strike first. He almost always takes a strike. He had been trying to change that at the start of the season. He had been swinging more early in the count. That has since stopped. And then he gets himself into a situation where he's chasing out of the strike zone, which is what he did first and third, nobody on in the sixth. He pulls an outside pitch, a weak grounder to second. They throw Bryce Harper out at home, gets him caught in a rundown. Adolis Garcia pops a pitch up on like the first pitch that he sees for the second out on the infield fly rule, and then Alec Bohm lines out to center field. Rally in the sixth is over. It didn't feel as bad because you'd scored there, but you kind of knew that might bite them in the rear end. Especially
as soon as you saw it happen, you're like, this is the rest of the game, isn't it? As soon as you saw them lose the magic from those four runs, you're like, this is the rest of the game. I'm so glad they scored here, because there's nothing happening for the rest. And that's how it went.
And then they're down in the eighth inning because Jose Alvarado has a bad outing, but you get first and third with nobody out again, but you get the same guys up. Bryson Stott, Adolis Garcia, and they never got to Alec Bohm because Bryson Stott swings at the first pitch way out of the strike zone, down and in, takes a ball, and then on a 1-1 fastball, and I'm talking, Liz, middle, 96-mile-an-hour fastball, he fouls it off. And now you're down in the count. Now it's 1-2. Now you got to protect. and Bryson Stott strikes out on a pitch out of the strike zone. And in a bat where it seemed like he was trying to correct what he did in the sixth inning and overcompensated in the eighth inning. And then Adolis Garcia gets ahead in the count 3-1. And then on a pitch way up and in, hits the ball in the air to the second baseman, who doubles off Brandon Marsh, who's not paying attention. That's a ball game. And it's just, we've seen this over and over in the playoffs, where they get runners on third and less than two outs and can't bring them home. Because they do rely on the home runs so much with this team. When everybody's hitting bombs, it's great. But when they're not hitting bombs, they really have a hard time. And you've got to find that mix of home runs and being able to string some things together.
Yeah, productive hits. Like, man, I feel like they did end up relying a lot on Kyle Schwarber last year. And he's going to hit a lot of home runs this year. I have no doubt about that. But he can't do it all again. And he can't do it all himself. It's really frustrating. I mean, looking at what the Phillies' stats are looking like, just for the individual players, it is a depressing lineup right now. It's just depressing looking. God.
Yeah.
Adolis Garcia is hitting .204. Kyle Schwarber is hitting .212, but that's not necessarily the worst. But he also has almost doubled the amount of strikeouts of anybody on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, Schwarber, but I mean, Schwarber's giving you a little bit of the power. Bryce Harper's been hot. Justin Crawford remains red hot. Trey Turner picked it up a little bit this week. So you've got 9-1-2-3 are hitting right now, but nobody else in the lineup is. The Phillies' 4-8 hitters are hitting a combined .185. That's 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the lineup. Five of your hitters, your five hitters in the middle of the lineup are hitting a combined .185 with a .257 on base percentage and a .542, not slugging percentage, but OPS, all are last in Major League Baseball. And so we're having all these conversations about, well, you know, maybe we'll change the lineup and we'll have somebody else hit cleanup. You know, let's have Adolis Garcia hit cleanup. Well, like you said, Adolis Garcia is barely hitting over .200. He's got 2 home runs and a .631 OPS. Okay, well, let's put Alec Bohm back there. He's even worse, a .148 average. He had his opening day home run and one double. Those are the only extra base hits he's had so far. He's got a .455 OPS. And then JT Realmuto is hitting .212 with 2 doubles, a homer, 1 RBI on the season for JT Realmuto thus far with a .714 OPS. Folks, it doesn't matter who's hitting fourth on this team. They have 5 guys in the lineup, none of whom can hit. You can switch them around if you want to, but and if you're Rob Thompson, sure, fine. Adolis in the four hole, try it.
Who cares?
But, you know, it's just when they start hitting, they'll start hitting, but it really doesn't matter right now, man. Yeah, it's not right now. Woo. The other weird thing, Liz, is this feast or famine nature of the offense. Like, they're scoring in just one inning of every game. So in their last 46 innings, so this is the 20 inning scoreless streak coming into this weekend, and then the 3 games against who did they play? Arizona. Just flew right out of my head. They played 46 innings. They've scored in 3 of those 46 innings. Cole Weintraub of NBC Sports Philadelphia noted it's the first time they've had a stretch like this since September of 2016. And they've also been held scoreless in 67 of their last 76 innings.
That's a lot. That's so many.
10 years since they've done that.
So
on
many.
Sunday, they scored in 1 of the 9 innings they played. On Saturday, they scored in 1 of the 8 innings they played. Friday, it was 1 of 9. Wednesday, 0 of 9. Tuesday, 0 of 9. Monday, 2 of 9. Sunday, 1 of 9. So only one game out of the last 7 did they score in more than one inning in that game. I can't explain it. I mean, Woof. They have that big 4-run outburst, and then that's it.
Woof. I don't know what's happening. I mean, there's something to be said. I don't know. Like, I can imagine someone. I'm trying to think of a manager these days that would go in and, like, throw a table or something or yell. And I'm like, the only one I could come up with, like, Ozzie Guillen. Get Ozzie Guillen back here.
Yeah.
Get him back. I mean, honestly, get this group a Latino manager that they could barely understand.
Can you imagine?
I'm serious. Give it to him and let him say sink or swim, guys. This is your manager. I've decided this is your manager. And if you don't work with him, you don't have to, you don't have to play. We can put you on the bench and I will put stinky players in your place. That's what I want. If I'm being honest, I would love to see Ozzie Guillen make a comeback and be like, no, Bryce Harper works for me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or, that would probably, I could retire from baseball fandom. I might be able to at that moment.
Well, I mean, that would be something to see. I mean, I'm trying to imagine.
I'm not saying it's actually going to work.
No, never in a million years.
That I'm concocting.
Never in a million years, but but I do wonder, you know, at what point decisions are made with regard to managers and coaches. Yep. Like they haven't. This is not a horrific start to the season. Like they're not. This is an ugly start, but they're 7-8, right? They've somehow managed to win 7 games this year, which.
Wow.
It's really kind of amazing that they've managed to win 7 games the way they've played this year. And I think part of what we're seeing is that this poor offense is affecting their defense. It's affecting their base running. I mean, they had a horrible defensive series in San Francisco last week. They played a little bit better defense this weekend against the Diamondbacks, but they haven't done any one thing well. I mean, you look at the starting rotation, that's been uneven. You know, one guy will have a phenomenal outing his first time out, and then the next outing he gets blown up, and then the next time out he's lights out again. Like the starting rotation has been kind of all over the place. It's all aspects of the game are really rickety right now, and there's really nothing the Phillies can hang their hat on, and that's where, you know, again, these same guys together on the same team trying to get over the same hump. You know, is their combined history going to be too much for them to be able to do it? Or is this, again, just early season weirdness? And it could just be your early season weirdness.
Mm-hmm. But it's lasted long enough now that we're like, this feels like it's beyond early season weirdness a little bit. We're, what, 2.5 weeks? Just a little over 2 weeks.
About 3 weeks in now, yeah, because they've played 7-8. They played 15 games, so they're probably, a little less than 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah. And so it's starting, you know, it's April 13th. We're moving through April. Easter's over. We're all like, all right, when do they start getting even a little bit better?
Yeah.
It's not even that people are expecting everything to be solved because we all know better than that. But we're looking for something small. We're looking for Bryson Stott to not hit the ball directly at a fielder or into the ground. We're looking for Brandon Marsh, who has been excellent so far, to just that one little thing gets to him. We're just like, come on, man, you had it all going on.
Yeah.
Just keep rolling. You know, we're looking for one of these relievers to not suck so bad. Because some of them are not bad at all. Some of them I've been happy to see.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
Jose Alvarado has been really, he's really struggled with his command.
Yeah,
pretty much everyone else in that bullpen has been really good. I mean, I want to throw some. Brad Keller had a little bit of a rocky outing on Saturday, but gave up just the one run, managed to hold the lead. Juan Duran's been fantastic.
They've been using him a lot, too.
And they have been. They've been using him a lot. The big surprise in the bullpen is Tim Mizea, who a lot of people now think put him in the Jose Alvarado role for right now. Like, I mean, Banks should be your top two lefties out of the bullpen until Jose Alvarado can figure out his command issues, because it's just, he's not reliable in the eighth inning at the moment. And Tim Mizea is just that's the thing.
Yeah.
He's like one of those beautiful relief pitcher things, you know, like Tim Mizea, you know, is he going to be an all-star?
He might be our only all-star this year.
Right. That's right. Last guy added to the bullpen at the end of spring training.
Those are the stories you love to hear. That's why I'm like, I'm all on board on Tim Mizea. He's been fantastic.
Very, very cool stuff. And so the bullpen, Boylan's been really good. Kirkering has been pretty good since he came back. And I do want to say I have had some concerns about Juan Duran at times. He's looked very, very good of late. Like he looks like the Durantula again. So that was very encouraging to see. Before I get to the rotation, I do just want to, Bryce Harper has obviously taken some heat among the fan base, especially for what he did, trying to stretch that single into a double on Sunday. And, you know, we all agree with his remarks after the game. They're playing bad baseball. And I do hope that he was kind of directing that towards himself a little bit with play. Sure. But overall at the plate, Bryce Harper is swinging a really good bat. Dare I say, an elite stick of late. Since the start of the Colorado road trip, over the last nine games, Harper's hitting .400 with a .514 on base and a .767 slugging percentage. That's a .1280 OPS. He's got two homers, five RBIs, and five doubles and seven RBIs over that time. And over the last six games, .526 batting average, .640 on base, .895 slugging. That's a .1535 OPS with a homer, four doubles, and six RBIs. He has been, Liz, swinging a really productive, good, hot bat, staying through the ball, not pulling off, not trying to do too much when he's at the plate anyway. So that's been, that is a positive that we have seen from Bryce Harper here over the last week and a half.
Completely. I've been so delighted to see him. I don't even know if he's changed his approach so much as become just slightly more selective. He doesn't look quite, at least at the plate, he's not looking quite as desperate to get a hit. Mm-hmm. You know, when he gets a couple of hits, you can see him settle in because, like, all right, this is what's supposed to happen to me. This is what I'm supposed to do, and now I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
But when he can't start, it's like, how do I get to the place where I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do? So it's nice to see him not searching in that way. But you could tell he's trying to pick up the slack for some of his teammates because he got left out on first base a couple of times this weekend. And he, there's nothing like when they focus in on him as that music is playing into commercial and he's taken off his gloves and whatever, and he's got a face on. He's like, he doesn't want to show the face to anybody else, but he's showing it to his gloves and the batting kid. He's like, I hate this. Someone bring me home.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I'm seeing that he's frustrated about. But I mean, seeing Bryce Harper do well is a big load off of my mind. It's the big weight off my shoulders.
Same here. And but there's nothing he can do about that. And he has to he has to just accept that and just keep doing what he's doing and just accept that, you know, and like the guys will get you in when eventually at some point.
Don't try too hard.
Right. Don't try to do too much.
You're a good baseball player.
And by the way, he's doing all this with no protection in the lineup, which just kind of proves the point. He doesn't, getting someone behind him as protection so that he'll see more pitches to hit, it's not an actual thing. Like, he's seeing actually fewer pitches in the strike zone right now than he usually does. And it doesn't matter. He's hitting really well because he's when he does get those pitches over the strike zone, he's hitting them. And he's doing, they're throwing him more breaking stuff early in the count over the plate that he's doing damage on. So, I mean, that scouting report will change at some point, but that's a good adjustment that Bryce Harper has been making here over the last week and a half or so.
It is. It's great to see him make that adjustment because we go so long without seeing him do well. You're like, does he know how to make adjustments anymore?
Right, right. And real quick, the starting rotation, it's been uneven. Like, this is the strength of the team, or supposedly. We've seen really all five of these guys have excellent outings, including Taijuan Walker. And then we've all seen them get absolutely blown up. Jesus Luzardo could not have, he looked awful in his first start of the season, could not have been more dominant against Colorado, and then comes out and blows a 4-0 lead after being staked to a 4-0 first inning lead. He gives up six runs. He had a no hitter going through the first four innings and then didn't make it out of the fifth. I mean, some real Aaron Nola type stuff there. It was really a weird start from Jesus Luzardo. And then Taijuan Walker had the anti-Luzardo start. Had a brutal first inning. He's just getting booed mercilessly by the fan base. I mean, he comes out, gives up a leadoff bomb, then walks the first guy. He gets behind like 3-0 on the next guy, and the fans are just, and he's throwing 88-mile-an-hour slop up there. I mean, you're just like, what are we doing here?
And I just like, and I don't blame the fans. Like, I feel bad for Taijuan because he doesn't have a choice but to go out there. But like, the fans don't want to see that. Like, that's the Phillies' fault.
Right. But then he comes back and pitches four shutout innings and just gives up the two runs through five, and the Phillies win that game 4-3. So again, weird pitching performance there. And then Andrew Painter, who was scratched from his start on Sunday because he had a migraine and was throwing up early in the afternoon.
Oh God. Yeah.
Manages to feel well enough at a certain point to pitch the middle part of the game. So Zach Pop pitches the first two innings, and then Andrew Painter comes in and is brilliant in innings 3 through 7. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run allowed, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts on 80 pitches. Might be the best pitching we've seen him do since spring training of 2023 before he got hurt.
Like, yeah. I love
really good outing.
I love that he went out there. I love that they let him go out there.
Yeah.
Because I think this situation is weird. Like, migraines are strange. I've had them. They are unpleasant. I've only had one to the point of throwing up once, and it is something I do not wish to repeat. They are brutal. And so that he was able to feel well enough to go out and pitch that well, and that the Phillies had enough confidence in him to let him go out and, you know, start his start a few innings later. Like, that's a kind of like a remarkable flexibility that I would not expect from them.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy is sick, my impression is he is young, he is sick, let's not mess with him, sit him down. But no, they felt confident enough in what he had to say. And I can't, that feels like a big step in his development to me.
Yeah.
It feels like, all right, they trust him. You know, they trusted him to say he wasn't good enough to go, but they trusted him that he was good enough to go. And he proved that they could trust him because he went out and did well. Like, that's a big step in the growth of a pitcher, between a pitcher and a manager, a pitcher and a pitching coach. I think those are big things for Painter to have displayed. And I think it'll only pay dividends down the road as they continue to give him, they trust him more with the starts he makes. He's like, no, I can get through this next batter. I can make it to the end of the inning. They're going to listen to him, and God willing, he'll be able to make good on those promises. Now, at least he'll have a chance to try it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it was impressive how good his stuff was, given that he wasn't feeling very well. Definitely looked like he had made some mechanical adjustments, too. He was more on top of the ball. Everything was more on a downward plane. So his fastball was more effective. His breaking ball had more vertical drop to it, a lot sharper against the Arizona hitters in that game. And that's what we had seen from him before he got hurt. And so very encouraging stuff from Andrew Painter there. But at J. Hey Kid on Twitter had this interesting note about the Phillies pitching staff. Right now, they have the third highest strikeout rate in baseball, 27%, the lowest walk rate in baseball at 6%, and a top 10 home runs per 9 innings mark. And yet they're tied for 19th in ERA this year. That is the largest gap between ERA and fielding independent pitching. Right now, the Phillies ERA as a team is 4.16. Their FIP is 2.74. That is a 1.42 gap. That's a big gap between their ERA and their fielding independent pitching, which, for those of you who don't know what FIP is, it strips out all batted ball data, tries to strip away all the luck. It focuses on strikeouts, walks, and home runs, mostly things a pitcher can control. There's some noise with that stat, and so it's not something that you use instead of ERA, but it kind of gives you a good picture of whether or not a pitching staff or a pitcher has been maybe more unlucky than not. So you could argue that the Phillies pitching staff probably has gotten a little bit unlucky here in the early going. And that's maybe why we've seen some of these blow up innings from some of these guys here. So, I mean, a little bit uneven, Liz, but I think overall I'm relatively pleased with the pitching staff, and really they're being asked to do it all because the offense has been MIA.
I'm on Baseball Reference. I don't know if that's where you were looking at your FIP numbers, but I'm looking and seeing some extremely interesting gaps between a player's ERA and their FIP. Good Lord. Jesus Luzardo, 6.23 ERA, 2.34 FIP. Fielding independent. I think he was the victim of some bad fielding, but like Andrew Painter's fielding FIP is 1.54 right now.
Wow. That's
it's very interesting to see, because I don't know if the Phillies fielding has been that bad. So I kind of want to go back and watch some highlights and see how much the fielding really did impact. Because I'm not wary of stats like FIP, but I feel like they're a little opaque sometimes in what they weight and what they don't.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. And I think, you know, you just kind of have to take it as one of a number of different stats, right, that you're going to look at.
An array.
And so, you know, and I think that's, at the very least, I think that just kind of does tell the picture a little bit of maybe a Phillies starting rotation or a Phillies pitching staff that's just been a little bit unlucky. I know in the National Series, that game where they gave up all those runs, so many of those were bleeders and grounders through the middle. It was just a cacophony of batted ball unluckiness. So, All right. Well, Liz, well, let's look ahead to the Cubs series. They'll play three night games here at Citizens Bank Park. Javier Assad, a right-hander, will go up against Christopher Sanchez. On Tuesday, you've got right-hander Colin Ray going up against Aaron Nola. And then on Wednesday, two lefties, Shota Imanaga, is going up against Jesus Luzardo in that series. So again, the Cubs and Phillies are both kind of playing the same brand of baseball right now. The Cubs are 7-8. Coming in to play the 7-8 Phillies. So, but a lot of teams in baseball right now, there's just so much parity going on around Major League Baseball right now, Liz. So I'm going to ask you, is this the week the Phillies offense maybe breaks out? What would be your definition of breaking out if you're the Phillies offense now? What would that look like? Scoring in two innings in a game?
I was going to say scoring at least two runs in two innings in a game.
Wow.
Right now, that's slow. And I know.
Slow down.
I'm so sorry. That was too high. I'm really sorry.
Golly,
my expectations are out of control.
Terrible.
I think that is an expectation for breaking out on Monday. Mm-hmm. If they could do that on Monday, that's breaking out. If it keeps going longer, then they'll have to do more to break out. That is my thought. If they can't hit more than at least two runs in two innings on Monday, on Tuesday, they have to do more than what that was, because now they're even further down the line. Like, do something. I'm angry about games that haven't happened yet.
Yeah, let's save the anger for when they actually do fail to hit with runners in scoring position again. And listen, I mean, I get just to finish up, like, we get it. Like, and we're annoyed with this team, and we're frustrated with this team. And, you know, if you don't believe in them, I get it. I really, really do. They haven't done anything to earn it. And the fan base has no patience. Like, the Boo Birds have been out earlier and more in force to start this season. These Phillies, this collection have had slow starts before, but man, there's no patience. There's no grace period with this group right now. Which is again why I wonder whether or not changes would be made, if the fan base would be so demanding of it that it could force somebody's hand in the front office. The Phillies don't usually act that way, but I don't know. Fan base is not happy.
No, so. Fans are very unhappy. And I'll say it, if you are not enjoying the Phillies right now, you have my permission, you have the universe's permission to unplug from them until they're doing better, until they're in a position to make you happier. Because the point of all of this is watching baseball is to enjoy it and to love it and to find delight in it. And if you're not, you have full, it doesn't mean you're less of a fan, and anyone who tells you that you are is an idiot. We do this because it's our job.
Mm-hmm.
We do this because we need to. But if you want to turn a game off because they've given up three runs in the third inning, do it. You are not a bad fan. You have my permission. I will give you a laminated card if you want.
Card carrying, Liz Rocher is a card carrying member of the Please Don't Hurt Yourself with baseball.
Yes. Hurt yourself society of Phillies baseball.
Of Phillies baseball, because it can happen that way. So I think Liz is good. I do think you're a bad Phillies fan if you don't come back and listen to the podcast, though, and learn
that's
what's
true.
That makes you a bad fan, I'm sorry to say, but you know, you can redeem yourself by telling friends and family members about the Hitting Season podcast. You can do all that. All right, Liz, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Something unrelated to baseball. Friends, if you've got pills in your hand and you need to take them with something in the fridge, be sure to check if the milk is good before putting it in your mouth. Right before the podcast, I had some medications to take, put them in my mouth, and thought I'll do what anybody does when they need to drink something from the fridge real quick. I'll open up the milk and have some. Nope. Nope. That came out in chunks, and then all in the sink.
No.
Very bad.
No.
Do
That's
not do
not
it.
Good.
Please check your milk before you drink it. What a stupid thing to say, but honestly, it's the only thing I could think of right now. I'm so grossed out by what I did like an hour ago.
So I am incapable of swallowing pills with anything other than water.
I have a tough time swallowing.
And I can only swallow pills of a certain size too. Like, I can't
pills are really tough for me too. They always have been. Like, I have since I was a kid, I have like a really sensitive gag reflex. So it's always been really unpleasant. And so this was just like, well, pills are not fun to take normally, but this is like a whole new kind of awful that I didn't even imagine.
That's not something that you want to have happen on a Monday morning. That's for sure.
Stay smart, folks. Stay smart.
Must be a Monday.
I'm Garfield.
That's right. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. And I want to encourage you, no matter what happens with the Phillies this week, check on back here for the midweek podcast. We'll let you know what's going on with the Cubs series and the end of the week podcast with Justin and Liz. And make sure to tell your friends and family members, even if everybody's annoyed by the Phillies, you don't have to watch. You can come here and we'll tell you what happened and we'll try to make it enjoyable and fun for you, unlike the team itself. And maybe the Phillies get on a winning streak, because this, I do believe there's a good team in there somewhere trying to get out, like a little chicken trying to hatch from its egg.
I agree.
It's in there somewhere, so maybe they will hatch this week against the Cubs, and you can join us here on the Hittin' Season podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast. You can also follow us on YouTube, on the WHYY YouTube channel. Subscribe to us there. The Roundtable episodes will be there as well. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.